Welcome to the Wisdom Journey with Stephen Davey. Today, Stephen brings you to Colossians 3 and 4. Paul urges you to act your age spiritually. He emphasizes the need to set your mind on things above and live out your new life in Christ. Could you use some help with that? If so, keep listening. You'll be challenged to put off your sinful habits and put on new virtues that come from Christ.
You've probably heard parents say to their children at some point something like, grow up, or act your age. Maybe some of you wives have said that to your husbands along the way as well. That expression simply means, well, act in a way that's appropriate for someone your age. The Apostle Paul is about to say something similar to the believers in Colossae, and frankly, every Christian for that matter. He's going to say, in so many words, act like the people you are. You are God's people. Let your life show that. Conform to the reality of who you are in Christ. Now, here in Paul's letter to the Colossians, the first two chapters were all about sound doctrine, but these last two chapters are all about spiritual demonstration. What we believe should shape how we behave. And Paul begins with the Christian's perspective here in the opening verse of Colossians chapter 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Now, the word if can be translated since. Paul is addressing Christians, those who've identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. They've died to their old lives, and now they have new lives in Christ. So they need to act their age. Verse 2 explains this means setting their minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Now, that doesn't mean that we stop, you know, brushing our teeth or doing the laundry or cutting the grass. It means that our priorities are shaped with this eternal perspective. Paul wants us to look forward to that future moment, which he writes about in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Now, beginning here in verse 5, Paul moves from the Christian's perspective to the Christian's practice. He describes it as putting off the practices of our old life as unbelievers and putting on the practices that reflect our new life in Christ. And he writes down here at verses 9 and 10, you have put off the old self with its practices, and you've put on the new self. Now, the old self is that person you were before salvation when you were under the domination of sin. The new self refers to your life after salvation, as you are now under the domination of the Spirit. So putting off the old self and putting on the new self took place, theologically speaking, one time at the moment of your salvation. But practically speaking, it takes place every day, doesn't it? You're going to decide which set of clothes you're going to wear for that day. Paul writes here in verse 5 that we should be putting to death, that is, take off those old clothing. What do they look like? Well, here they are: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, as Christians, you've been saved. You're no longer facing the wrath of God. But the last thing you want to do is put back those, you know, those old clothes on, that old life which Jesus Christ forgave and took away. Now here in verse 8, Paul lists some more sins that Christians ought to be putting off, putting away, as we mature in Christ and, well, we start acting our age. Paul writes, but now you must put them all away. Well, here they are: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk. He adds in verse 9 that we must not lie to one another. Now, don't forget, beloved, that Paul is writing to Christians here. If he's telling them to put these old actions away, he's warning us just as well today. See, even though we're saved, We can pull that old life out of the dusty attic where we thought we had stored it away safely in some old box. We can put those old clothes back on, and we can discredit ourselves, and we can bring shame to the name of Christ. Now, here's a helpful clue for maintaining consistency and wearing the right clothing, acting our age, the Christian life. It isn't enough to take off the old dirty clothes. We need to put on clean clothing every day by means of practicing new patterns in life. Now, if we put on what Paul tells us to put on here in verses 12 through 17, well, we're going to act and we're going to talk and we're going to look a lot like Jesus. He's our pattern in life. And so here we are. We're to exhibit, Paul writes, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Verse 13 says we're to be forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven us. All this is simply saying that when we act our age, we act a lot like Jesus. Paul writes now in verse 15 that we're to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. How do you develop the serenity and peaceful spirit of the Lord? Well, Paul goes on here in verses 15 and 16 to tell us how. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Literally, let God's word set up a tent, move in, take up residency in your heart and mind. And when the word is inside of you, guess what? The word is going to come out of you. And Paul describes it here that way in verse 16. Look what happens. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. This is a great way of reminding us that Christianity is not just a one-time decision. It's a lifetime of decisions and demonstrations. Paul describes that here in verse 17. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Now with that, Paul is going to explain how that kind of practice, that kind of demonstration is going to play out in virtually every relationship. Verse 19 of chapter 3, all the way through chapter 4 and verse 1, it repeats what Paul has already written to the Ephesians, and we've covered that in detail. So I'm going to summarize how our redemption should influence our relationships, as Paul describes it, to the Colossian believers. In verse 18, wives are going to follow the leadership of their husbands. In verse 19, husbands are going to faithfully love their wives. In verse 20, children are going to respectfully obey their parents. In verse 21, fathers are going to provide loving leadership to their children. In verse 22, bondservants, who are in our contemporary world employees, are going to diligently follow orders from their supervisor. They're going to put in an honest day's work. Well, now Paul refers to our relationship with the Lord in chapter 4 and verse 2. He writes, continue steadfastly in prayer. In other words, keep the conversation with the Lord going throughout the entire day. And with that, Paul throws in a personal prayer request that the Colossians pray for him as he shares the gospel with others. Well, finally here, Paul refers to our relationship with unbelievers. He writes in verse 5, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt. In other words, just be gracious with those unbelievers around you. Listen, beloved, nobody's ever been argued into the family of God. You're not going to win a fight and get somebody to believe in Christ. Season your words graciously as God opens doors. Well, now in rather typical fashion, Paul ends his letter with a number of personal greetings. In verse 7, he speaks highly of Tychicus, who evidently delivered this letter to the church in Colossae. He's accompanied here by Onesimus, and Paul commends him here in verse 9 as our faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. Paul sends greetings on behalf of others, including Mark, here in verse 10, the author of the Gospel of Mark, by the way. Paul sends greetings from Epaphras, here in verse 12, who's more than likely, as I've said, the pastor of this church, though he's at this moment with the Apostle Paul. Paul also mentions here his faithfulness in praying for this congregation of believers. He wants them to mature in obedience to the will of God. Well, Paul also, by the way, sends greetings to a woman named Nympha here in verse 15. She had opened her house for church services, and what a wonderful gift of service she was providing for this little church. Paul tells his readers here in verses 15 and 16 to greet the brothers at Laodicea and see that they also read the letter from Laodicea. Now, apparently a letter Paul had written to the Laodiceans is referenced here. Laodicea was nearby, about 9 miles away, and Paul wanted the churches in Colossae and Laodicea to exchange their letters. Now, God didn't preserve Paul's letter to the church in Laodicea, but God did preserve this inspired letter to the church in Colossae, giving us exactly what we need to put into practice a daily demonstration of our Christianity. This is the new pattern of our lives in Christ. And this is, beloved, how we grow up in Christ. And this is how we act our age. Let's do that today. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, and this is the Wisdom Journey. As you seek to apply the lessons you heard today, focus on living out your new life in Christ. Put off old sinful habits and embrace new virtues. Set your mind on things above and let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. If you find Stephen's teaching along this wisdom journey helpful, we have another resource that might interest you. I want to invite you to sign up and get on Stephen's email list. You'll be joining a group that we call Friends of Wisdom. You'll hear from Stephen each Tuesday in your inbox. Often he sends an article that'll help you think biblically and walk wisely. He sometimes answers questions that he's received. At least once a month, our Friends of Wisdom receive a free resource or discount offer. Signing up is easy, and of course, membership in Friends of Wisdom is free. All you need to do is visit wisdomonline.org/friends. That's wisdomonline.org/friends. Get yourself signed up today. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. Come back next time for more of the Wisdom Journey.